cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim shine forth.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of John. John chapter 16. If you are there, say praise the Lord. Amen. John 16. Let's read verse 12. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you a little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. You can't come into all truth without the Spirit of truth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And it says he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Let's go to 1 John. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verse 20 says, but ye have an unction. That unction is an anointing. Amen. An anointing is a measure of the Spirit that is given. It says you have an unction from the Holy One, so it is a portion of his Spirit. The Spirit of the Holy One, or that's the separated one, who that separated one is called truth. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That truth nature is a function of his separation, and that separated one, because he is separated, you can't access him without him bringing him, coming to you, or enabling you to access him. And that enablement is called the unction. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That unction is an anointing, the Spirit of him. So you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, these all things are that those things to come. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I want us to go there. We're going to come back here. Let's hold this First John and that John chapter 16 side by side, and let's just look at things, compare these things. Amen.
Amen.
Now, John 16, right? He says that verse 13. You see the end of verse 13. It says that, and he will show you things to come, right? Then verse 14 says, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father, so he said he will receive of mine. Amen.
Amen.
On Wednesday, we're talking about things, that concept of mine, right? Mine own things. They are not just things that I made or things that came out of me, right? They are mine own things. So God has his own. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, those things that are called mine, those things are also separated. Because if he's separated, his things are also separated. If he is holy, his things are also holy. Now he says he will take off mine. Now this was Jesus speaking, right? Praise God.
Amen.
This was Jesus speaking. He said he will take off mine. That was the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of truth, will take off mine. He will receive of mine, right? And will show it to you. Verse 14. Then verse 15, he now explained, what are those things that are mine that he will take and show to you? He says that all things, right, that the Father hath are what?
Mine.
Are mine. So those things which the Spirit wants to bring us into that are Christ's are not things that Christ just came up with, right? They are things which were given to him by his Father. Right? He said that he received it. Right, all things that the Father hath are mine, and said, therefore said I that he shall take of mine. He's explaining, this is an explanation. He said, first of all, he said, amen, that he will glorify me, for he will receive of mine, and then he will show it to you. He will take of mine and show it to you. Then he now went on in verse 15, right? He's now explaining. He said, all things that the Father hath are what?
Mine.
Then said, that is why I'm saying to you that he will take of mine. Are you reading it there? It says that therefore said I, that's why I said to you that he shall take of mine and show it to you. So why I'm saying he will take of mine and show it to you is because all things that the Father has are mine. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, in that first John, remember, note that word, all things. Amen.
Amen.
All things. Now, the things which the Spirit of truth, or which the unction of the Spirit comes to reveal to us, those things, they are particular things. They are separated, right? They are things that belongs to somebody. Do you know that God's property are not yours? They are things he gave you. He made us and gave us things. He created things for us, right? And gave us things after creation. But he has his own things. Those things are his own. Amen. Now, he desires for us to come into those things. But that those things, you can't come into them without something called the unction. Or it means you have to be anointed to take the things of God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say it. You have to be anointed.
To receive
the things of God. You have an unction from the Holy One. And you know all things. Now, knowing all things, I want you to know that these all things is not just, when they say everything, they are speaking of particular things. Jesus was explaining that in John chapter 16. That those things which he will lead you into are what? Things of mine, which are the Father's, but which became mine. Now, Jesus Christ is called Jesus the Christ. The word the Christ means what? The anointed one. Amen. Now, what is he anointed for? Why is he called the anointed one? Because he's anointed. Jesus Christ is the first man. First man throughout creation who was able to access the things that the Father calls mine, the Father's things. And that is what he was anointed for. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He was what? Anointed for those things. Him being the Christ, it says Jesus the Christ, right? When he asked Peter, who am I? That was what the revelation of the Father came. He said, when he said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. He said that thou art Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus the Christ is Jesus who became anointed. Right. Jesus who became anointed. Jesus, if Jesus didn't come into that anointing, we might not even know of him today. Maybe we're just printing down maybe in some history book somewhere. There was just a guy who was a nice guy and everything. Right. But even if he died, his death would not have produced what it did for us if he didn't become the Christ. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So him becoming the Christ, I want you to know that Jesus becoming the Christ, Jesus was just a vessel. You know, men are vessels. People are vessels. So Jesus was a vessel. He was the son of Mary, born of Mary, right? And Joseph. Well, not Joseph physically, but he was his son. Amen.
Amen.
Now, he was born, it was a vessel, a human vessel, who was raised to come into the anointed stature that can receive the things of the Father. Because the things of the Father are the things which he designed to give man. God didn't give man those things in the beginning. God designed that man should come into them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In order to come into them, that operation of the anointing is important. Without the anointing, you can't access God. There's a wall, there's a gap between man and God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
There's a gap between what? Man and God. Man is here, God is there. There's a separation. As far as the heaven is from the earth, so are my ways from your ways. So are my thoughts from your thoughts. When you say ways and thoughts, those ways and thoughts are his management of his. He has his own world, his own economy, praise the Lord, and his own things. To bridge that gap, you need what you call the unction or the spirit or the anointing. The anointing is the one who bridges the gap, praise the Lord, between the Father and man. Praise God.
Amen.
It says that you have an unction from the Holy One and ye know all things. Praise the Lord. Read verse 24. Verse 24. It says, let that therefore abide in you. Right? Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, then also, and also shall continue, ye also shall continue in the Son, praise the Lord,
Amen.
And where? In the Father. If those things you have heard will continue in you, or will remain in you, then you will continue in the Son, and where? In the Father. And let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Verse 25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even what?
Eternal
life. And these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall what?
Abide
in him. Say abide.
Abide.
Abiding in him is something you have to be taught. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, it's more than being born again. You can be born again, your spirit man, but your soul might not have found an abode in him, because there is a gap between where the soul is and where God is. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, you discover that abiding in John chapter 15, the chapter before John 61 we're reading, Jesus spoke about abiding. He said that, if you abide in me, and then my words, what? Abide in you. In chapter 14, he spoke about abiding as well. Praise the Lord. Now, that abiding for you is the same thing. You can't abide in God without God abiding in you. Right? They operate. How? The way you abide in God is by what? By God taking his abode. So, the how hidden are you in God is by how much of him has come into you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Because, you know, God, he doesn't admit foreign things. Right? If you are still foreign, that separation between you and God is actually a separation of what? It's a necessary separation. It's a separation of nature. It's not distant. Maybe God is in Gatineau and you are here. So you want to run there, God, you know, that idea of heaven we have is true. It is a physical dimension or the outward dimension, but the true separation is inwardly. As a matter of fact, what qualifies, what determines the body's abode is the inward nature, right? You know, there is a spiritual body in First Corinthians 15, right? There's a spiritual body which we will actually take on when we leave this body. But you see, the abode of that spiritual body is determined by the what?
Nature of the soul.
The nature of the soul. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The nature of the soul determines in the spirit where you can abide. Because in the Father's house, there are many mansions, there are many places of habitation. Amen. But where the soul has grown into, that growth is not an upward growth spiritually. Praise God.
Amen.
Where the soul has grown into determines the abode that the person will take in the spirit. And the growth of the soul is a measure of how much of God's things. Amen.
Amen.
How much of what? God's things have been what? Deposited on the inside. And those things are things you have to learn. That is why abiding has to be taught. You can't pray yourself into abiding. You can pray yourself to come into a season of teaching. Praise the Lord. Your prayers can do what? Bring you into a season of teaching. Your prayers can release a greater measure of an operation of the unction in your life. But that process of the unction teaching you, of the anointing teaching you, has to happen. Without that happening, there is no abode. The amount of God you have is the amount of the learning or the teaching of the Spirit within you that has happened in your life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you can't take your abode in God, in your soul, if the soul has not been taught by the anointing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Say the anointing.
The anointing.
You know, the anointing is the teacher of man. When it comes to God's school, there's a school of this world. Right, you don't need anointing for that. Learned men can teach you about things. But when it comes to the learning of God, praise God.
Hallelujah.
When it comes to the what? Learning. When it comes to the knowing of God. You know, God is a being that can be known and should be known. We are actually called to know Him. When you got born again, what happened was that God called you to know Him. Your new birth, every person who was born again in your spirit, that spirit lies a call to knowledge. If you are able to see what your spirit man is doing, every time, every second, he's trying to pull you. Because that spirit has been joined to God. He's trying to pull the soul into that place. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
So God should be known by the soul. And God can be known by the soul. But there is a way that knowledge of God, the way the knowledge of God comes to the heart, is not the way a natural knowledge comes. Amen.
Amen.
And this is the thing that God wants to teach. He wants to raise us to teach us. There's a different way and culture of learning that we need to master. When we master that way of learning, we begin to take advancement quickly in the spirit. You begin to drop carnality quickly. Things that used to make you fall easily, you gain strength and wisdom above them, right? Because you found your school in the spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All the enemies of man are the way the enemies of man are things that Satan has designed around the soul, right? They are snares, right, of the enemy around the soul. The man can only avoid those snares by being taught. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You can't escape the snare of the fowler. You can't escape the snare of the devil. And those snares are soul snares, not body. They are for your soul. In other words, Satan has devices. The Bible calls them the devices of the devil. And it says you should not be ignorant. You know what ignorant means? You have no knowledge. You have no light. You know, there are devices against the soul, but it's possible to not know those devices. And if you don't have knowledge of those devices, it's hard to escape them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So the soul will fall prey every time, every time, every time, every time. And the soul can come into a cycle of trying and trying and trying. The reason why it comes into that cycle, is in that cycle perpetually, is because it hasn't learnt. It hasn't come into the knowledge, the teaching. There's a teaching of the Spirit. Because it takes the Holy Ghost, that Spirit, they call Him the Spirit of Holiness. Is it teacher of holiness? Because He is the unction from the Holy One. He's the unction sent to you from the Holy One. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That unction is the teacher of holiness. He teaches the nature of the Holy One. He teaches the wisdom. How does God stay holy without sinning? There's a wisdom in Him that does that. What makes God righteous? See, it's not a man. Balaam saw that. He said, it's not a man that he should lie. The Son of Man that goes back. Praise the Lord. God who cannot lie. Amen. You know that lying, he cannot lie, means His nature of truth. He can't change from it. Praise the Lord. There's something active in Him that keeps Him perpetually in that state of holiness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
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 There's something that makes Him holy, holy, holy. That word holy, holy, holy is three times. He's talking about perfection of holiness. When you see Him on the throne, you see a perfection. You see holiness that has come into perfection. Holiness that has become beautiful because it has reached what? Perfection. That's the nature of the being on the throne. He said with Him, there is no variableness. Praise the Lord. You know, that is a perfect being. He's a stone. He's a rock. They call Him the Rock of Ages. Ages. Rock of Ages. Praise the Lord. Means He has been a rock for a long time. And He's still a rock. He can never turn. He can never change. They call Him the Ancient of Days. See, that ancient nature, that is the nature of true holiness. It can't turn. It can't change. He's not subject to circumstances. Praise the Lord. He's not in danger of anything. There's nothing outside of Him poses a danger to Him. He's not threatened by, He's not even tempted by anything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He is consecrated and separated forever. Now that nature of God, that nature is, there's an active operation in God that keeps him like that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. That thing is a working of power. It's called the divine nature. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He says that in him, with him, there is no what? Variableness. And there is no shadow of turning. He doesn't vary. Praise God.
Amen.
And he does not turn. You know, those things are different. There are two different things about his nature. Those two things are the components that make up truth or that make God up. They are the two things that balance all. Amen.
Amen.
The first one that balance all is that God is not a man that he should lie. He should not lie. It means there is no variableness. He's not a man that he should lie, but a man, nor a man that he should what?
Repent
of his word. Means he doesn't turn. So he has no variableness. He doesn't lie. Means there's no deception in him. Amen.
Amen.
And then he doesn't turn. He doesn't turn means his nature does not change. That nature is a nature of holiness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, I want you to know that operation in him of holiness is actually the workings of his spirit. It is what? Is the working of his spirit, is his spirit. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
His spirit, the spirit of truth. That was spirit of truth. It means the spirit that governs truth. Is the spirit that manages truth. Anywhere you see a truth nature, that spirit is involved because he is the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of truth, is also the spirit of God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How many of you know God is anointed? You know, we know Jesus was anointed, but you know that being called God, he himself, he is actually he's a body of anointing. All right. When you say he is, God is spirit, that spirit that God is, it is anointing in his native form. That is just God. When God smiles an anointing, his anointing has smiled. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
His thoughts are anointed. His ways are anointed. God is not spiritual. God is spirit. Obviously, spiritual. You know what I'm trying to tell you. He's not just spiritual. Spiritual means he can do spiritual things. But they're talking of his nature. As a matter of fact, that what you call spirit is him. Amen.
Amen.
So his nature is a spiritual nature. Right? That holy nature of his is a product of that spirit. You can't separate spirit from holiness. Spirit is, and you can't have holiness without spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That was why before the spirit came in his mandate as a teacher on the earth, men could not be holy. Men tried to be holy. They did everything they can. Law was given to them. But holiness couldn't be found. Because what? The spirit of truth had not come. Jesus said, I have things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. I mean, there's a potential you can bear them, but there is something absent that makes you unable to bear them. Why you can't bear them is because the spirit, the thing that carries that truth nature, is not present in you. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And you know, truth resides on the inside. Truth, the nature of truth is an inward nature. So without an indwelling, an operation within of that spirit of truth, the person can't come into the nature of truth or the nature of holiness. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know now, truth is holiness. It's the same thing from what I'm saying, right? Holiness means he is separated, can't turn. He's in the world by himself. That world, that's what makes him holy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Now, when I ask you now, what are now those things that he said are mine? What are those things?
The kingdom.
Okay, this is the kingdom. Say it. It's truth. Praise God. Praise God. What of mine? He said he will take of mine. He will take of what?
Mine.
Of mine. Do you know that everything in Christ is truth? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the truth. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I am what? I am. He didn't say, I know the truth. You know, Jesus couldn't have said, I am the truth when he was 10 years old. Because they were still what? Teaching him. The Spirit was still raising that nature of truth in him. But at the point, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father. You know why no man cometh to the Father but by me? Because, why? Because I am the anointed one. Amen.
Amen.
I am the anointed one. Means that anointing of Jesus the Christ now, that Christ in Jesus is not just an anointing upon him. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
It is what? It is the anointing within. I mean, it is his person. Uh-huh. It is that the person has become anointed. Right? Because the person has come into the substances of truth. Him being anointed, being the Christ, means that he has received those things that are the Father's. It is those things of the Father in him that makes him the Christ. When he goes to God, he becomes God. There is no separation. He is just God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
When you bring him from that God realm into our world, he becomes the Christ. Do you know what I'm talking about? Because in God, he is not the Christ. He is Christ, but you understand, that Christ is an operation that is when truth rests upon a man. Then that man is carrying an anointing. Means that he's carrying something beyond men. Something that men are separated from. Something that is beyond man. Something that he's carrying in nature. Right? He just was not just that man. He had another nature. Praise the Lord. So he has a foreign nature to man. So that nature is the anointing. That nature is anointed to man. It is that nature is not native to man. That nature is native to God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But when it comes to man, he's not native. That's why he was a strange man. His ways were strange. His words were strange. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, without him coming into it, we can't come into it. You know, even though he was with them, but he said, I myself, even though I'm anointed, I'm the Christ, I have things to say to you, but you can't bear them. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? What does it mean to bear? You can't carry. You don't have what it takes to what? To hold them. So it's not just an anointing. Do you believe Jesus was anointed? Do you think there's any preacher right now on the earth who is as anointed as Jesus was? No, that day, he was telling them this thing, that John 16, that I have things to say to you, but you can't handle them. Right? You can't handle them. Maybe if it was today, we'd say, man, maybe he's not anointed enough. Let's go and find a more anointed preacher that can preach this thing. Do you understand? So that was not a deficiency on his part. You understand? It's not that he couldn't, because there's no one as there will never be a preacher like Jesus. There will never ever be. Read his what he said. Read what he, in short, even Paul, some things that Paul might use one whole book to explain. Jesus can say it in 2-3 verses. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So Jesus was the most awesome preacher. Simple, beautiful, lovely. It's like telling you a story, but in that story, there's eternities, wisdoms of eternity encapsulated in just his simple words. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus was an anointed man. I wonder how would that guy have been? Just praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus was awesome, but he told them that I can't. It's not that I can't communicate it. It's just you can't bear it. He said, you can't bear them now. Right? I have many things to say, but you can't bear them now. Why was it I have many things to say? You know, say. The next I said things that are mine. It means that the way we actually communicate those things are sayings. Praise the Lord. It means that you can say to someone and say to them and say to them till they come into things. Praise the Lord. Saying or preaching. And the Bible says that he has in due season, he has manifested his word through preaching. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. So wait, preaching is not just talking. Having an orator doesn't make you a preacher. What makes you a preacher is you have ability to release spirit. You have the ability to what? To bring people, to deliver the things, separated things. You can communicate separated things using words like Jesus could, like Paul could, like John could, like Peter could, like James could, Timothy and all those guys. They were raised to communicate the spirit. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
But he said that you can't bear them now. Why? You know that in John chapter 14, two chapters before, he told them that spirit, he said he is with you. But later he will be in you. Mm-hmm. Right? So it means that being with you, even though he is with you, is not enough. Right? What makes you able to bear truth or to bear the divine nature is not having spirit anointed, being anointed or being and all that. It's not having spirit on you or even with you. You know, there was a time when they actually had spirit on them. Jesus gave them measure of spirit to do miracles and all kinds of things. Praise the Lord. But with all those operations of the spirit, they still could not bear. Say, you can't bear it. You can't bear it. You can't what?
Bear.
What does it mean to bear? To carry. And to hold it. You can't bear it. So there is an inward bearing capacity. If that inward bearing capacity hasn't been installed in you, if the poor truth, the truth will leak out. It's like you're pouring water into a basket because the basket can't bear it. The basket, you can hear it. Do you know there are revelations? When you read the book of John, the revelations you are seeing now, do you know many of those guys couldn't see it? Jesus was pouring it on them, and it was. But Jesus knew a generation will come, these things will be written, and a generation will come who will be able to bear it. So he said those things. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But what God is saying this time is not. God is not doesn't want to be pouring things into baskets, because the word that is coming is the word of truth, is the word of the end time that will raise the perfect bride. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But God needs vessels to be raised who can bear the truth. Now, what is that installation? What is that thing that has to be installed in a person? It's called what? It's called the Holy Unction. Praise the Lord. That's what he's saying here, right? So you have an unction from the Holy One. You have an unction from the Holy One. Without the Holy Unction, you can't bear the truth.
Yes.
You can't bear the things of God. You can't bear them. You can't hold them till they become your own. The same way they become Jesus' own. They became his what? His own. Say, all things the Father had are mine. Now, you think those things that were just his, he came to them as a man so that you can come into them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you know that this having unction now, unction, thank you, Jesus, unction is beyond just being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit and being able to speak in tongues. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That unction, there's a separation there. It's good to be able to see that thing. That you have the Holy Spirit that has become one with your spirit man. He's in your spirit. He's become one. But he's trying to have influence in your soul.
Uh-huh.
Now, say it again. To the spirituality. So, that unction is not something that rests on your spirit. Unction is spirit resting on your soul. Because what they want, what needs to bear, what bears, is the soul that bears. The mind and the heart is the heart that is the vessel. That's where God wants to pour his things. That's the destination of truth. Truth ought to be written on the heart. So you got born again, right? You received the Holy Spirit and you baptized with the Holy Ghost, right? That the Holy Spirit in your spirit man, there is a way from there. He needs to now begin to leak into your soul, to begin to flow into what? Into the soul and then anoint the soul. It's like an ointment. That anointing is like you take a basket and you do what? You put a what? A wrap or something, the seal. Uh-huh. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You seal it. Your anointing level or your ability to hold truth is how much of the unction has rubbed on your soul. How anointed is the soul? A lot of Christians are born again and they speak in tongues, but they are not anointed. They don't have anointed nature. When you see them, they have mighty intellect and mighty mind. You understand what I'm saying? They are just men. You know, your function is not what you are in your spirit. That's your identity. You can have an identity, but function outside of that identity. Many of us are doing that because we are not living. We are not walking. According to that identity, you can't walk in your soul. You can't walk in the spirit without what? Being anointed. If you ignore the life of the unction, the life of the anointing, you will always just be as a man, even though you are born again. You won't be able to fulfill divine program. You won't be able to carry out spiritual stuff. You won't be able to live spiritually. You won't be able to give expression to the life of God because the soul is the organ of expression for the life that is in the spirit. But the soul that is carnal can't express a spiritual life in that carnal state. It needs to be anointed. The soul, there's an anointing for the soul. Say it. Do you know that God has his own soul? Do you know that? God is spirit. His soul is spirit. His body is spirit. Right? You see in the scripture. God has his own heart. He has a heart. That's what they call the heart of God. So for example, I found a man David after my heart. You know, God has his heart. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
He has what? His heart. How do I know? Where does his will flow from? Right, that decision making faculty. He said, I will have mercy on who I will have mercy. Jacob, I love. Esau, I hate. What part of a person does all those things? It's the heart. It's the heart. It's the heart. God has his heart. Now, do you know that heart is spirit? God's heart is completely anointed. Every thought from the heart is an anointed thought. Every motion of his heart, his spirit, is what? Is anointed. Now, what that heart is carrying, a man's heart can't carry it if it doesn't come into that same anointed capacity. Right? Now, what is that thing that makes the heart able to carry? It's that thing from the Holy One. It's called the unction. It's out of his unction. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Holy One has an unction. Out of his unction, say, you have an unction from the Holy One that makes you know all things. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
There is a way of the Spirit that God, heaven is making clearer. Do you know this issue of holiness, righteousness, pleasing God? You know, this has been elusive to the church for a long time. Do you know this is that one area that we have been having problem with? In the generations, we've seen all kinds of churches. Some churches have become so big, so influential. You know, some churches have come into mighty operations of power, ministry of gifts, healings, and everything. So then when it comes to wealth, influence, all the many things that you can think Christianity is about, we've seen many, but this area of walking righteously, if we will be honest with ourselves, if we will be sincere, this is an area we haven't really gotten yet. With all, sometimes you can see mighty moves of the Spirit, power and everything, but when you check the people, they are still slaves of sin. Means they've not been able, say we should walk even as he walked. We've not been able to walk as he walked. Because him walking like that wasn't just a decision, let me walk. No, there's a power, there's an ability that he came into. Jesus was endowed with power. That was why he was victorious over sin. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If you ask me, what makes Jesus special? Was it that he did miracles? No. People did miracles before him. And people will do after. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
What makes Jesus special? Really? What makes him special? What made him special was he's the only man who dealt with sin completely. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He what? He dealt with sin and death. He overcame sin to the point where the devil came himself. Because all that the devil had thrown everything, he had overcome everything, so Satan came to him himself. Without the anointed nature, you can't overcome the devil. Do you know why? Shall I tell you why? Do you know why? Because that devil, his strength, his power, is anointing. Do you know why he's so strong, so formidable, so elusive? Why? Because he's anointed. That he has anointed, his nature with an anointed nature. You know what I'm talking about now? I'm talking about how he was made. Ezekiel 28, what did he say? Take up a lamentation against the king of Tyre. What did he say? He said, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Thou art what? The anointed cherub. The anointed cherub. Anointed. So, when he produced sin and started sharing sin, he shared it to angels first. You know, angels lower than him. You know, means they didn't have that kind of anointing. When you say the anointed cherubs, seraphims are not like that. They don't have that thing. That thing is a property of God's realm. You know, cherubims, they cover him. They overshadow the mercy seat. They are the beings that are about the throne. See, that throne area, that's an anointed realm. When you nothing that without anointing can what? Can enter. You know, Jesus' anointings were in degrees. At the point he had overcome the world and everything, when it was time for him to sit, they had to now bring the last one. In the book of Hebrews chapter 1, right? He says that because you hated wickedness, right? The scepter of your kingdom, the scepter of righteousness, because you what? Hated, right? Wickedness. Love righteousness. Now says, therefore, God your God has what? Anointed you with the oil of gladness. That oil of gladness, that is the highest anointing. That is the anointing for the throne. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you see that realm of the throne, those beings who reside there, they are anointed beings. And then he fell and came to the world. He killed angels, right? That operation of anointing with which he killed himself, right? And he manufactured sin and death. And he began to kill angels. Why couldn't these seraphims know that this thing is wrong? Why will I be following you? Why will you be saying all these kind of things? They are wrong. No, Satan, I won't follow you. Why were they able to? Why was he able to kill them? Why were they not able to discern him? You're a bad guy. You're a bad guy. You shouldn't be having these thoughts. These thoughts are wrong. Why weren't they able to do that? Why? Because what he brought to them was a product of his anointed stature, his wisdom. Read Ezekiel 28. See, that was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. That was how he was made. And so his wisdom, that's where sin is a product of that anointed nature. He turned, he became that. Said, thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He corrupted and then iniquity was found in you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now that being who his anointed produced, let me tell you something. Sin is an anointed thing. Sin, or what you call temptation. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know what I mean by anointed now? I don't mean it's from God. So anybody does not understand what I'm saying, let me explain more. You want more explanation? Answer, please. Do you want more explanation about why when I say sin is an anointed thing? Do you know what I mean by that? You understand what I mean? Okay, I will explain. Sin, what I mean is that the nature of sin, praise God,
hallelujah,
that nature of sin is a product of the nature of the devil. Sin is a perverted wisdom. Praise God.
Amen.
Sin is what? A perverted wisdom. It's just a wisdom that has turned. It's just wrong. But it is still anointed. Anointing means anointing. You know, I was describing how God, that God's nature, how he can stay holy in himself. Do you know that operation is an operation of wisdom? Do you know that? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anytime you see holiness, just know that there's some terrible wisdom at work. If you can find somebody who truly can measure out a holy life in this world, they might not have any degree or anything, but just be afraid of them, that there is a serious wisdom at work. The wisdom to live above sin. is called making the wise unto salvation. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, what is sin? Sin is simple. Sin is just a wisdom that can kill. Say it. Wisdom, how to kill. God designed angels fearful. Some of those seraphims, you know, the seraphims are the ones who turned and then became what the Bible calls spiritual wickedness in high places. Praise God. Spiritual what? Wickedness in high places. Those ones are seraphic in nature. Wickedness means twisted. He twisted them. You know, wickedness from the word weak. You know what a weak is? It means it's twisted. So something that is wicked means it's twisted. It has turned. So seraphims became spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, do you know who seraphims are? Seraphims are actually designs of holiness. Right? Their nature is actually, the word seraphim means burning ones. I mean, every seraphim is a flame. They are a flame. That flame is flame of sanctification. They are actually holy. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That burning holiness means that they are sanctified creatures. So you wonder, these such creatures, why would such creatures fall? Right? That would tell you that holiness is a measure of wisdom. Do you understand? There is a wisdom nature higher than the seraphims, even though they are burning flames. But there are other higher angels called cherubs who you don't see them burning, they are just shining. But you don't know that shining, for you to shine, shining happens when perfection has happened. For example, take gold. It doesn't even look appealing or anything. It's just, take it from the ground, doesn't look like anything. Pass it through fire. When it has passed through fire, impurities, the more perfect it is, the more shiny it is. That's the way it is. So those beings of cherubs, they are beings of glory. But in that glory, it doesn't mean they are not holy because they are not burning. It means that their holiness has come to perfection in that angelic world. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, Luke?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So could it be like they were satisfied with the level of dimension they had in abiding in God?
Okay.
So how do we like climb the rungs, you know, like access more height of abiding in God? Because one dimension I just noticed is not good enough.
It's not good enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like that question. Now, there's a difference between angels and men, right? One thing with angels is that angels were not designed to grow. Sure, that was part of Satan's sin. Part of Lucifer's sin was that God put him in a place. He said, "This place is not enough for me. I will exalt myself. So I will exalt myself above the stars of heaven." He said, "I will stand in the congregation." Then at last, he now said, "I will be like the Most High." That was not his place. Now that "I will be like the Most High," that one is for man. Do you understand? That thing that was seen for the devil is something you should be saying. Because you were designed for that. God is the one that permits. But in the book of Ezekiel, it says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth," right? It now said, "I have set this so." Right? It now spoke about how he was designed beautiful in the day that he was created. So angels, their stature, they are a fixed stature. Angels are just simply, they are God's environment. You understand? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They are God's what? For example, I came here in this house, right? I'm living in this house, right? Now this house, in order to live in this house, there's a way it is designed for me to live in it. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
This wall is meant to be there. because it is my is where I'm what I'm dwelling in for now. It's a design. The world can't see. I don't want to be there. I want to be here. You understand? It's a wall. Stay there. I created you as my environment. God built the angels as the sanctification levels that can keep him. When you are moving into the heavens, you pass the first heaven, the second heaven, before you get to the third heaven. In the first heaven, you first see some beings called principalities and powers and might and dominions. That is their realm. Because the first security around God, if I can maybe use that word, you understand? The first security around God, they are called principalities and powers. They are and might, and they are in four layers. Principalities, powers, and then what? Mind, and then dominions. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, praise God.
Hallelujah.
There's no time to go into the scriptures. Maybe another time. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But you will see, if you compare Ephesians chapter 1 with Ephesians chapter 6, you will see in that first realm, that first heaven of angels, in the ones who didn't fall, in Ephesians 1, they were speaking of Jesus' exaltation, right? How the Bible says, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and what? Seated him at the right hand, far above, first of all, principalities, powers, might, and dominions, and every name that is named. Those names that are named are also angelic, but they are seraphs and they are cherubs. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Now, what I'm saying, you can't understand everything from this message. But those first class, they are first heaven's angels, principalities, powers, might, dominions. They are four. They are the gatekeepers of the heavens. If you want to access the heavens, you have to pass through them. Principalities, what? Powers. The lower principalities, then you come into powers. Then you come to might and what? Dominion. Now, those might and dominion, when they fell, they became what you call the rulers of darkness of this world. Right? Because when you go to Ephesians chapter 6, you now see in the dark, who the way it was, Paul was speaking about who we war against. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers. He didn't say might and dominion now. But instead of might and dominion, he called them rulers. Because might and dominion are rulers. Dominion and might. He said he called them rulers of darkness of this world. You understand? Now, you see those beings, the way God made them, they are an installation in the heavens. In the heaven, it doesn't have wall like this. What heaven has are beings. The walls of heaven, or the curtains. You know, we were reading Wednesday. Praise the Lord. How he reared up the heavens like a curtain. Psalm 104. And in Hebrews chapter 1, he said like if vesture, he will also roll them away. Now, you see, heavens to God. God does not dwell in physical house. God's wall are angels. In fact, every realm in heaven, what makes up a realm in the spirit are the beings who live there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you have those first class, then you have the seraphims, and then you have the cherubim. So their job is not to leave their place. Their job is not to grow. They are just designed there. They are actually a design for man, so that man can be able to sight the degrees of separation in the spirit, in order to be able to ascend into holiness. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You see, anywhere that is God's habitation will have that design. And the tabernacle in the wilderness had the same design. The outer court, the holy place, the holy of holies. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You see, even the heavens of the world to come, we have that kind, that same design too. Because that is just in my habitation. That's just God. I am God. Wherever I am, there are three levels of holiness. Because I am holy, holy, holy. There are three. And it's throughout the scripture you will see that three levels of sanctification. Amen.
Amen.
Now, so angels hold that in the present heaven by their nature. But man, now, man is what? Man is lower than them. He made man a little lower than angels. But as crowning with glory and honor, man is supposed to ascend beyond all that holiness. Man's destination, what God has designed for man, is for man to come to him. You see, the throne of God is what? You see, the throne higher than the angels. That's where man is meant for. As a matter of fact, read Revelation chapter 3. You see it there. Right? Mm-hmm. So to he that overcometh, in the last church, said he that overcometh, will I grant what? That was Jesus speaking, right? Jesus said, he that overcometh, will I grant to what? Sit on the throne as I overcame and sat with my Father on the throne. So the truth is that if how you know what God desires of you is just look at Jesus. Everything Jesus became, that's what you are designed to become, because he became that for you. Yes. Jesus didn't need anything. The Bible says, who he counted not robbery to be equal with God. In the eternal past, he was the eternal Logos. Jesus didn't need any exaltation. He was highly exalted himself because he was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He wasn't looking for anything, desiring anything. He and his Father, they were just, the Word was God. You understand? So when he came, became flesh and became Jesus, he became that to, as a captain, as a first to bring many sons to glory, according to Hebrews chapter 2. Right? Praise the Lord. It became him by whom and for all things in bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation. What does that mean? Captain of their salvation. It's the same salvation. He is their captain. Captain leads. He navigates. Praise the Lord. If they tell you to access salvation, you don't know how to. That has been God's desire for man. But God now had to send him a man to show, to become a captain. A captain has a compass. Praise the Lord. And he can get to the destination. But not for himself. You know, a captain is, amen. When you're in an airplane and you're traveling from Ottawa to Edmonton, praise God. Now, in that airplane, there's a captain there. The captain, is he going for vacation in Edmonton?
No.
What is he going to do in Edmonton? He probably has nothing. He's not, you know. As a matter of fact, it's possible that maybe he even lives there. But he just came to bring you there.
Yes.
His job is to navigate. That's Christ. So when God became Jesus, right? He wants to know, who am I to be? What am I to become? My purpose? How can I know my purpose? And all these things. You go to all kinds of seminars and symposiums for purpose, but it's not hard. Just check, what did Jesus become? Everything he became, you are to become. Because his inheritance is called what? You are a co-heir with him. Is a co-heir. What you are inheriting. Are you inheriting this thing? That's what I'm inheriting too. Because we are co-heirs. We are heirs together with him of the promise. Now, where did Jesus end up at? Right hand of the majesty on high. Now, when he went there and sat down, did the Father say, okay, you have done everything. No. That's the end. No, the Father said, just sit down there and wait till I make your enemies your footstool. Who are his enemies? They are the people, the Satan and his cohorts, right? Those enemies, they are warring against the church. Do you know what that means? That design of sitting on the throne till I make your enemies your footstool. This is what God was saying to Jesus. You are the head. You sat. Your body has what? Is still below their enemies. They haven't sat. But when I make your enemies your footstool, means I will bring your body above your enemies. And then your body will be seated with you on the throne. You now understand Ephesians chapter 4. When it says that we might grow up to him in all things. That's the reason for the fivefold ministry. Praise the Lord. Even unto the head, which is Christ Jesus. That's our journey. We want to catch up with him. He sat and he's doing his high priestly ministry until the enemies, see, until I make your enemies your footstool. Means your body will rise above your enemies. And we are the body. Praise. Do you know that body is just the body is the wife of the head. This is just scripture. That's all when you talk of husband and wife, right? But he said the head of the man, the head of the woman is the man. Have you seen that? The head of the woman is the man. Then he now tell the man, love your wife the way you love your own body. He said, he that hated his own body, his wife, hated his own body. You read that. Paul said all that, right? So the body is actually the wife of the head. So you are the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. And they must inherit together. And the head, Christ can never be satisfied. Even though right now as we are here, he's seated on the throne of his Father, but he has only one thing in mind, his body. His body. He can never rest. See, sit down. Wait. It's tentative. Wait. I will make your enemies your footstool. It means I will bring your body above. Do you know that your enemies are not just your enemies? They are his enemies. He said, until I make your enemies your footstool. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Those enemies, what makes them? You see that waiting? You see that? Why do we say wait? Sit down until. It means that the way you can't just blow the enemies away. Do you know why you can't blow the enemies away? Like that. Because if you blow the enemy away, you will blow the body away with the enemy. Because the body has been joined to the enemy. Yeah. Even though they are born again. But they are together. You can't just brutally do it. What do you need to get the job done? It's called a wisdom. There's a wisdom that you use to separate the church from the world. That wisdom is called a spiritual wisdom. It's not a natural wisdom. It's not a carnal wisdom. The Bible calls it the wisdom which the Holy Ghost teaches. There's a wisdom which who? The Holy Ghost teaches. When that wisdom begins to operate, you begin to find separation. Someone who is joined, who is worldly in their soul before, when that wisdom comes, they will be able to be separate. Ability to be separate from the world will come by wisdom. You need wisdom against a wisdom design. Because sin and the world is the product of satanic wisdom. That's what I was trying to describe with the angelic. It was his wisdom. That's why the seraphims couldn't, with all their holiness. You get that? With all their holiness, his wisdom was greater than their holiness. When he finished talking to them, they would think what he said is right. Why? Because he's anointed. He can speak. His tongue is anointed. That's how he began to talk to Eve in the garden. Before Eve knew it, what happened? What God said he shouldn't do, she has done it. She gave her husband. Amen. That is wisdom. Satan knows. He knows. He knew. He looked at Adam. That this Adam, because he's not eternally safe, he can't resist his wife. Adam might have been able to resist him directly. Maybe. I don't know. But he didn't come to Adam. Why did he go to Eve? Well, because when he looked at Eve, you know, Eve is what? Eve was the body. Aha. He didn't go to the head. That's how he behaves. You see that he doesn't come through the door. Jesus said that. the owner of the sheep comes to through the door. Jesus Christ does not pass back. Sorry, God was, I'm not sure he was passing backyard into the garden. When God came to the garden, he didn't call Eve, where are you? Who did he call? The head. Because he is the right man. He has the authority. He's not a thief. He called Adam. But when Satan came, he first of all climbed a tree, and as he stopped, he said, he looked for what is the most cunning animal in all of creation. And the Bible says, he said, and the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. So he entered into the serpent, the most subtle of creation, and went to wait for her. That was that subtlety. Wow. It's his wisdom.
Wow.
Then he began to, what did he begin? He began to talk to Eve. He was talking, through talking. That has been his ministry in the heaven. He has been killing angels. He killed many of them and came down to Eve. And then, how does he kill? He's not fighting, talking. That's how he does it. Satan does not carry a man and chain you. Come here, come and sin by force. Have you seen such thing before? A demon will carry a man. Hey, we are going to, we will force you today to sin. No, but when the man is sinning, the man will have fallen in love with the sin.
Ew.
You can't even separate him from it. He likes it. Why? What? Who did that? Someone has talked to him.
Charles.
He has talked. He talked, and after a while, he sees sin as just pleasurable. It's just something you can just do to have fun. He can't see sin as death anymore. He can't see the harm in it because of that anointed tongue which he had. If he had come to Adam, if he talked to the head, maybe he might not have been able to, but he spoke to the woman. You know, the woman, Adam's duty was to raise her up. Right? But when, you know, the Bible says that, it says Eve did not disobey. Right? It says Eve was deceived. Paul said it. But Adam disobeyed. Uh-huh. What does that mean, deceived? It means that she was... It means that a wisdom beyond her came to her. And she couldn't discern what this guy was saying was wrong. But Adam knew good. He knew enough. But he disobeyed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You now see in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul was now writing about husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church, right? Mm-hmm. And washed her with the washing of water by what? The word. He said that he might present unto himself a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle. Ephesians chapter 5. Praise God. Now, that washing of water by the word, the washing is a spirit operation. You know that? Because except a man be born of water and spirit. We learned that on Wednesday.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yes. You can't have water without spirit. Spirit is what makes you able to access the water and the blood of the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So, wisdom. You need another wisdom. A greater wisdom than that, the wisdom that has put man in this trouble. That wisdom is a property of the anointing. It's the unction. The unction is a wisdom provision. Because that unction, lastly, let's just finally read that 1 John before we go today. First John chapter 25. Amen. Thank you. He says, and this is the promise he has promised us, what? Even. Now, you know, eternal life is truth, right? Eternal. It will never, it can't change, can't turn, can never die. That is the promise he has promised us. Now, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Who is the them that seduce you? They are those beings, wicked spirits that have wisdom. Seduction is a wisdom operation. How Satan kills by seduction. He doesn't kill brutally. He kills by what?
Seduction.
He will talk to you until you accept to die. Yes. 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 Because but that death, it won't come to you. This is death. What will he tell you? It is what? Knowledge of good and evil. Can you see this fruit is good to eat? It's good for food. Did he come and say, I am Satan that killed all the angels in heaven? Now I come here to kill thee. No. He just started gisting with her. Look at that. Look at that lovely fruit. That is what he calls seduction. That's the way. So you should be more worried about the things that seem good to you. There's a way that seemed right unto a man. That is the danger. Because it seemed right. The way that seemed right. But the end of that way is what?
Destruction.
Praise God. So John is saying here, these things have I written to you concerning them that seduce. It means I want to bring to you the antidote to seduction. I want to inoculate you against seduction. These things have I written unto you. Amen.
Amen.
Concerning them that seduce you. You see, but the anointing which ye have what? Received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of what? All things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as it has taught you, ye shall what? Abide in him. So you can't abide without the teaching of the anointing. How does this anointing or unction operate? It's through teaching. Teaching is a wisdom operation to access knowledge. Do you know that? Without wisdom, you can't access knowledge. Wisdom to know how to access the letter. Sorry, the writings or the scriptures to come into the knowledge of God, we need the wisdom behind it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Wisdom. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Someone please open for me 1 Timothy chapter 6. Chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Read verse 15.
But if I tarry long, and thou mayest.
I'm sorry, 2 Timothy. Sorry. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 15. Okay, so it was Paul writing to Timothy, right? Read verse 14.
But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned,
uh-huh,
and been assured of.
Okay.
Knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Okay.
And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Spirit.
What did he know? The Holy Scripture. What is the Holy Scriptures? Separated Scriptures. Those Scriptures are Scriptures of holiness. Praise the Lord. And they produce what? Holiness. See, how that from a child that has known the Holy Scriptures. Continue.
Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation.
See that. What do the Holy Scriptures do? They make thee wise unto
salvation.
What is salvation? Safety. Salvation. You've been saved. You are now safe. You are now beyond seduction. You are now how God is safe. That is salvation. What makes you wise? It means you can't access salvation without wisdom.
Yes.
It is a wisdom. What produces that wisdom is that the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee what? Wise unto salvation. Now, what makes that scriptures able to do that? Continue reading.
True faith is in Christ.
Okay.
Jesus.
Continue.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Uh-huh.
And it's profitable for doctrine.
Yes.
For reproof.
Yes.
For correction.
Uh-huh. And then?
Instruction.
Do you see that? Inspiration of God. What is inspiration? When you say something came by inspiration of something, inspiration means that the Spirit was imparted. Right? It's God's inspiration that made Scripture to be given. Is the that what is the inspiration of God? It's a release of unction. Praise the Lord. So scriptures are unction materials. They are the instrument which the unction uses to make you wise unto salvation. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Peter, it says that no scripture is profitable. Is 2 Peter, sorry, chapter 1, right? It says that no scripture is capable of private interpretation. Why? For holy men wrote as they were what? Inspired, or they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So they wrote. So when John now said, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. How did that writing come by? As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that spirit, say the unction, that teaching, say that spirit which you have in you shall teach you. And when it teaches you, you will learn to abide. That teaching, the true teacher is the Spirit. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Say the unction.
The unction.
Say the holy unction.
The holy unction.
That's your teacher. If you ignore him, what will happen to you? You will struggle too much. You will just live a life of defeat. You will just be constantly defeated. You will try and try and try. You can't. Why? Because you've ignored your teacher. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You won't ignore him.
Amen.
He will increase even more.
Amen.
And more.
Amen.
In you. You will begin to hear the voice of the unction.
Amen.
You begin to hear the teaching of the unction.
Amen.
See, the Spirit of the Lord will become your teacher.
Yes, Lord.
Daily.
Amen.
You will not live a day any longer without knowing
Amen.
His guidance
Amen.
Within you.
Amen.
Even measures of the Spirit will begin to rest upon you so that you can receive the things of God. Increase. 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 Oh, holy katamata. On si unction, seshene in the heel of Astavail. Increase. Oh, Rakata Sivelos. Thank you, Jesus. Eirabasa. 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 Olebasa. Eiranistisu. Faranese Kariata Kariose. And frateste being the Lika Faranese, 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 Faranese
Let's begin to ask for an increase of the unction, an increase of a measure of the Spirit, the anointing of the Spirit, the increase of the Spirit, of the unction from the Holy One, the unction from the Holy One. I want to receive an unction, the increased measure of the unction, increase in my soul. I want to come into an increase in the unction. Oh yes. Say, Lord, anoint me with a fresh unction, a fresh measure of the unction. That teacher of truth,
received it, then it's yours.
Amen.
When I gave it to him, I gave it to all of you. But you have not known how to connect with it. You have not learned how to access it and how to use it and how to come into it. But that is the purpose for this season of mercy. To bring you beyond your capacity into a new place of operation of the unction. I will make you anointed the way the Son is anointed.
Amen.
I will bring you into seasons of teaching.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
The teaching of the Spirit.
Yes, Lord.
That will make you wise unto salvation.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
As you begin to press your heart into the things of the Spirit, as you begin to muster desire for the things of the Spirit, as you gain appetite and you increase in desire, even so shall the dispensation of this portion for you, so shall it come to you.
Amen.
Nothing will hold it back.
Amen.
You will live in the Spirit.
Amen.
You will walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
You will begin to come into more anointing than you've ever known.
Amen.
Visitations of the Spirit will come to your soul.
Amen.
Say the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for this privilege. Thank you because we don't deserve it. We haven't done anything to receive this kind of blessing, but your love, your good love with which you have loved us is what is helping us. So Father, we thank you for that love. Thank you for this message today. Thank you for bringing some definition to the essence of the anointing and the unction within. Father, we know you don't just talk for the sake of talking. He says, so shall it be, the word which goeth forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void without accomplishing the purpose for which it was sent. Father, this word has gone forth from you. It's so clear, it's your word this morning. Father, we know it will not return void.
Amen.
That every single one of us here, those connected who are listening, everyone who will hear this message, who are under the sound of my voice, even beyond us, Father, even those who are not hearing, but by virtue of mercy, there will be, Father, such a release of your Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We want access into the sanctified life.
Amen.
Into the holy life.
Amen.
Into the separated life.
Amen.
We pray that the measure of the Spirit for that access will rest on us.
Amen.
In our closet, in the closet of our hearts, a new walking will begin.
Amen.
A new learning.
Amen.
A new culturing.
Amen.
Father, we thank you.
Amen.
We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. Holy Spirit, you are the real teacher. Begin to teach these things.
Amen.
Individually. And establish us in this truth and all righteousness. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Between the cherubim shine forth. You dwells between the cherubim shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth. You dwell between the cherubim, shine forth.